Chapter 21 The House Elf Liberation Front. Harry, Ron and Hermione went up to the owlery that evening to find Pigwidgeon, so that Harry could send Sirius a letter, telling him that he had managed to get past his dragon unscathed. On the way, Harry filled Ron in on everything Sirius had told him about Karkaroff. Though shocked at first to hear that Karkaroff had been a Death Eater, by the time they entered the owlery, Ron was saying that they ought to have suspected it all along. "Fits, doesn't it?" he said. "Remember what Malfoy said on the train about his dad being friends with Karkaroff? Now we know where they knew each other. They were probably running around in masks together at the World Cup. I'll tell you one thing, though, Harry. If it was Karkaroff who put your name in the goblet, he's going to be feeling really stupid now, isn't he? Didn't work, did it? You only got a scratch. Come here, I'll do it." Pigwidgeon was so overexcited at the idea of a delivery, he was flying round and round Harry's head, hooting incessantly. Ron snatched Pigwidgeon out of the air and held him still while Harry attached the letter to his leg. "There's no way any of the other tasks are going to be that dangerous. How could they be?" Ron went on as he carried Pigwidgeon to the window. "You know what? I reckon you could win this tournament, Harry. I'm serious." Harry knew that Ron was only saying this to make up for his behaviour of the last few weeks, but he appreciated it all the same. Hermione, however, leant against the owlery wall, folded her arms, and frowned at Ron. "Harry's got a long way to go before he finishes this tournament," she said seriously. "If that was the first task, I hate to think what's coming next." "Right, little ray of sunshine, aren't you?" said Ron. "You and Professor Trelawney should get together sometime." He threw Pigwidgeon out of the window. Pigwidgeon plummeted 12 feet before managing to pull himself back up again. The letter attached to his leg was much longer and heavier than usual. Harry hadn't been able to resist giving Sirius a blow-by-blow account of exactly how he had swerved, circled, and dodged the horntail. They watched Pigwidgeon disappear into the darkness, and then Ron said, "Well, we'd better get downstairs for your surprise party, Harry. Fred and George should have nicked enough food from the kitchens by now." Sure enough, when they entered the Gryffindor common room, it exploded with cheers and yells again. There were mountains of cakes and flagons of pumpkin juice and butterbeer on every surface. Lee Jordan had let off some Dr. Filibuster's fabulous no-heat, wet-start fireworks, so that the air was thick with stars and sparks, and Dean Thomas, who was very good at drawing, had put up some impressive new banners, most of which depicted Harry zooming around the horntail's head on his firebolt, though a couple showed Cedric with his head on fire. Harry helped himself to food. He had almost forgotten what it was like to feel properly hungry, and sat down with Ron and Hermione. He couldn't believe how happy he felt. He had Ron back on his side, he'd got through the first task, and he wouldn't have to face the second one for 3 months.
"Blimey, this is heavy," said Lee Jordan, picking up the golden egg, which Harry had left on a table, and weighing it in his hands.
"Open it, Harry, go on. Let's just see what's inside it."
"He's supposed to work out the clue on his own," Hermione said swiftly. "It's in the tournament rules."
"I was supposed to work out how to get past the dragon on my own, too," Harry muttered, so only Hermione could hear him, and she grinned rather guiltily.
"Yeah, go on, Harry, open it!"
several people echoed. Lee passed Harry the egg, and Harry dug his fingernails into the groove that ran all the way around it and prized it open. It was hollow and completely empty. But the moment Harry opened it, the most horrible noise, a loud and screechy wailing, filled the room. The nearest thing to it Harry had ever heard was the ghost orchestra at Nearly Headless Nick's Death Day party, who had all been playing the musical Saw.
"Shut it!"
Fred bellowed, his hands over his ears.
"What was that?"
said Seamus Finnegan, staring at the egg as Harry slammed it shut again.
"Sounded like a banshee. Maybe you've got to get past one of those next, Harry."
"It was someone being tortured,"
said Neville, who had gone very white and spilled sausage rolls over the floor.
"You're going to have to fight the Cruciatus curse."
"Don't be a prat, Neville, that's illegal," said George. "They wouldn't use the Cruciatus curse on the champions. I thought it sounded a bit like Percy singing. Maybe you've got to attack him while he's in the shower, Harry."
"Want a jam tart, Hermione?" said Fred.
Hermione looked doubtfully at the plate he was offering her. Fred grinned.
"It's all right," he said. "I haven't done anything to them.
It's the custard creams you've got to watch." Neville, who had just bitten into a custard cream, choked and spat it out. Fred laughed. "Just my little joke, Neville." Hermione took a jam tart. Then she said, "Did you get all this from the kitchens, Fred?"
"Yep," said Fred, grinning at her.
He put on a high-pitched squeak and imitated a house elf.
"Anything we can get you, sir, anything at all."
"They're dead helpful. Get me a roast ox if I said I was peckish." "How do you get in there?" Hermione said, in an innocently casual sort of voice.
"Easy," said Fred. "Concealed door behind a painting of a bowl of fruit. Just tickle the pear, and it giggles, and—"
He stopped and looked suspiciously at her.
"Why?"
"Nothing,"
said Hermione, quickly.
"Gonna try and lead the house elves out on strike now, are you?" said George. "Gonna give up all the leaflet stuff and try and stir them up into rebellion?"
Several people chortled. Hermione didn't answer.
"Don't you go upsetting them and telling them they've got to take clothes and salaries," said Fred warningly. "You'll put them off their cooking."
Just then, Neville caused a slight diversion by turning into a large canary.
"Oh, sorry, Neville," Fred shouted over all the laughter. "I forgot it was the custard creams we hexed."
Within a minute, however, Neville had molted, and once his feathers had fallen off, he reappeared looking entirely normal. He even joined in laughing.
"Canary creams!" Fred shouted to the excitable crowd. "George and I invented them. 7 sickles each. Bargain!"
It was nearly 1 in the morning when Harry finally went up to the dormitory with Ron, Neville, Seamus, and Dean. Before he pulled the curtains of his 4-poster shut, Harry set his tiny model of the Hungarian horntail on the table next to his bed, where it yawned, curled up, and closed its eyes. Really, Harry thought, as he pulled the hangings on his 4-poster closed, Hagrid had a point. They were all right, really, dragons.